And let me just say this. When it comes to a 2 liter of Canada Dry ginger ale, I'ma have it. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm that guy. Yeah. What you want to drink? What you want to drink with your meal today? What can I get for you? I'm in the drive-thru. I'm at home. My wife is going grocery shopping. You want me to put, yes. I need that 2 liter of Canada Dry ginger ale. I'm not talking about the can, because the one in the can and the 2 liter don't taste the same. I can't get no help in this church. I'm preaching early now. You're going to have to go with me now. But I love ginger ale. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Bowman Be Honest. Thank you for tuning in to Bowman Be Honest, the real podcast with honest conversation. I really appreciate the support, man. I'm telling you, I really, really, really appreciate the support. If you are a creative in any respect of the word, if you are an entrepreneur, if you have, you know, you're a business owner, whatever, you're a content creator, listen, support is free and people don't have to support people like us. And I'm just so grateful, you know, I'm just so grateful for the support. But yeah, how's everybody doing? You know, the climate of today is crazy how much, you know, things have like shifted, in America and our world since, you know, our last episode. You know, that just speaks to how just time is just filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. Miami Zion folk, my Baptist folk, my missionary Baptist folk, you can say it with me. You got to build your hope on things eternal and do what? Hold to God. Hold to God's unchanging hands. Amen. Amen. But yeah, it is, you know, everything is just, it's so much has changed. Gas done went up at least $2 to $3. And some change, maybe even more since our last episode, since our last time we spoken to each other. The war going on, Russia versus Ukraine, yo, it's, and even the, and I've been reading more on this, but even, that's my dog. He wants so much of my attention, so he just decides to sit by me on the carpet and do that. But yeah, I've been reading more about Brittany Gardner, if I'm not mistaken, the WNBA superstar. She's just not a player, but superstar, like one of the best in the WNBA. Some articles that I read say that she is like the Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant of the WNBA. Well, she is imprisoned, locked up over there right now because and please go look it up for yourself, go read up on it. She is in jail because they caught her with like cannabis oil in her vape or something, and so she's been there, she was there before like the whole war started. You know, she was there before all the attacks even happened. Like, I think one article I read said that she was there like 10 or 11 days before, you know. But I read an article after I seen it, you know, floating around my Facebook timeline. I read an article that said, you know, the headline was very misleading. It's like, oh, well, she's vanished. What happened to her? But you got to read, folks. You got to read. The article actually went on to say that, you know, she's her attorney has been in close conversation with her. He won't comment and say too much, but she, you know, they know where she is. She's in close conversation with her. In terms, the headline was misleading because she hasn't vanished. But the fact of the matter is we haven't heard anything about, okay, if she's going to jail, when is she going to jail? If she's not going to jail, when is she coming back? So the headline was very misleading. You know, media does that. They have to do that so that people can, you know, tune in and share it. Because I bet a whole bunch of people shared it and didn't read it. But I read it to its entirety, and it didn't say, oh, well, that she's vanished. In fact, I heard that they pushed her. Just a couple of minutes ago, I read another article that said, you know, they pushed her her sentencing back to, I believe, February, or not February, but March the 28th. And that, I believe that's what it said, allegedly. And that she, you know, if she is found guilty on these charges, listen to this, she's going to have 10 years in prison. And not 10 years in prison over here, but 10 years in prison over there. So keep her in your prayers. First name's Brittany. I can't think of her last name. But, oh, my gosh, y'all, we not only do we need to be advocating, but we need to be praying. All jokes aside, we need to be praying because, not just because she looks like us, not just because she's black, but this, that can potentially go very bad. You know, some people were speculating, oh, well, she's a prisoner of war. And even the mere mention of that is just so, so scary. You know what I mean? So we need to be praying, church. we need to be praying, we need to be advocating, we need to be praying, we need to be becoming aware of these kind of things. You know what I mean? Everybody was calling what's her name, Ari Lennox, crazy for the stuff she was going through. And I don't think she was in Russia or anything, but the stuff she was going through at the airport, and saying, well, she was crazy. But everybody's not crazy. You know what I mean? Everybody's not crazy for being super defensive when, you know, when they're in a certain situation. You know what I mean? You got to put yourself in other people's shoes. Like I try my best with, if I'm not there and I have no idea what a person's going through, especially in a situation like that, matters like that, I don't put my mouth on them, because, you know, I'm not in that person's shoes. You got to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. What would you do if you're reacting like that? Everybody's calling, you know, Ari Lennox crazy, and she's over exaggerating, blah, 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 blah. But yo, look at the climate of today. Did y'all know they're not even like, there are like Africans in, Africans in Ukraine, and or in Russia, and they're not letting them leave, or they were at first, where everybody was leaving and going to, you know, find safety and refuge in other places. They were not letting them leave. There's literally footage of them not letting these black people, like letting them leave for whatever reason. Now, of course, and I hate when people do it. Of course, this short clip may be from another time. It is not the entire clip. It is just a fragment of what really happened. But at the same time, it's like, what was going on? Like, of course, these black people are, of course, aren't trying to get on a train that has nowhere for them to sit or stand. And even if they were, there is imminent war going on. You know, they're on the very cusp of a world war. You know, that's a tongue twist. A World War III. We're on the verge of that. You know, I hate to say that. You know what I mean? But so if they wanted to do that, let them do that. You know, and that reminds me of when, you know, we seen the footage of how they were I believe they were Haitian refugees or something like that. I cannot remember. It was so long ago. And I try not to digest that stuff, because it is, you know, like, I don't know about y'all, like, I can't even watch certain like slave movies, like, or movies where black people are treated bad. And I love those kind of movies. They're historically, some of them are historically accurate, and some are like dramatized, but for the most part, I can't watch too much of them. I love history, I love information, I love knowledge, I love that, but I just can't, because it'll have you looking at people differently, right? So, but anyway, yeah, even with the stuff where the people, like the Haitian people, I believe, were like being whipped when like the government officials or police were like on horsebacks and they were whipping them when they were trying to get across the border. Like, are you kidding me? It's just time to do better, y'all. It's time to do better. And I'm going to tell you what, y'all know the rules in this church. If we're going to do anything, we're going to praise, we're going to preach, and we're going to pray. Okay. If the list is, if the rules have updated, then govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. One thing we're going to do in this church, we're going to pray, we're going to preach, and we're going to praise. Right now, I got to preach now. But, you know, the Bible says, you know, what are the signs of the end of an age? Or how do we know when Jesus is on his way back? You know, it goes on to say there should be rumors of wars. You know, this stuff that's going on, it ain't surprising God. Okay, it ain't surprising God one bit. He's sitting on the throne, and he is not surprised, because he's already allowed his word to go forth, which put in very great detail You know, what, how are we going to know when Jesus is on his way back? How are we going to know the telltale signs? And this is one of them, going rumors of wars, you know, and amongst other things that are going on today in our community, in our society. But anyway, yes, it's time to stay prayed up. But all right, let's move on. So I'm an educator. I'm an educator, and I am on my second year. On my second year of being an educator. Second year educator. I love it. I love it. I nearly barf when I hear about how teachers are, you know, how teachers are teachers for like 10, 20 years, 30 years, graduate. I mean, I graduate, but retire, graduate to the next phase of their life, if you will, with 30, 40, 50 years of time in the public school system being a teacher. Let me tell you, as a second year teacher, I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine. God spare my life, nothing don't happen. I'm done after 5 years. Okay. Play with me, not your mama. God spare, Lord spare. Y'all know the old folks used to say, Lord spare my life, nothing don't happen. After 5 years, I'm done. I just couldn't, I love science. I teach science. I'm a science teacher. And I love kids. I love them. I love kids. But I don't know. I don't think, I was just telling a friend of mine, like 8 years is probably my cap. Like, it's my cap. Now, God may say otherwise. He probably does. He probably is saying otherwise. But my cap is 8 years. 5 is a lot, but 8 years is my cap. And you know, it's nothing wrong with being in a career long. It's nothing wrong with that. I'll say that again. If you found the career where you're like, yo, this is it. You know what I mean? Like I'm locked in right here. Then good for you. Good for you. But I want to, in the long run, yo, I want to work in higher education. I want to work in higher education. And that's just where my heart is. I feel like that's where my heart is, being in higher education. I don't know why. I don't know what facet it is. And you know, that's just where my heart is. And God, you know, God may change my heart. He does that. He'll change your heart in a minute without asking your permission. You know what I mean? But yeah, man, 5-8 years is my cap. I love being an educator. And in the short time I've been an educator, I've enjoyed it. And you know what? I'm at a new school, and Monday to get into what I want to, some of the things I want to discuss today. Monday would be, you know, the start of the fourth quarter. Praise the Lord. If you're an educator, if you're a daycare worker, if you work at Head Start, shoot. Okay. Fourth quarter means, summer getting ready to be here. Yeah, praise God. Y'all not clapping loud enough. Glory be to God's holy name. Okay. Yeah, fourth quarter is coming, and I had a lot of kids. I'm just going to ask it. I don't teach dumb kids. I don't teach dumb kids. I don't teach dumb kids. But I teach students. I teach kids. I teach children that make dumb decisions. You know what I mean? I'm talking about dumb decision. Like, you didn't think at all before you did that. You didn't think at all. For example, I teach at a predominantly white school. Okay, predominantly white school. And very, very, I would say, very small percentage of black children there. Very small percentage of black children there. And I have about, there's one black girl and about, yeah, one black girl And that's crazy now that I think about it. One black girl, and I got about 4, 5, 6 max, maybe black gentlemen, black young men that I teach. So one black young lady and 5 black young gentlemen. Now, the young lady that I teach, if I ever want to have a daughter, which I do, God, if you hear me now, God, we just want to say thank you, God, for what you're going to do in the womb of my wife in the days to come, that you're going to allow her to give birth to a female, a daughter. Glory be to God. And we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Y'all know the rules of the church. We're going to pray. We're going to praise. And we're going to preach. That was a prayer now. Stay with me. Amen. But if I was going to ever have a daughter, it would be this girl. I mean, don't get me wrong. She's a middle schooler. Right? Don't get me wrong. She's a middle schooler. But so she act like a middle schooler. She's a young teen. Young teen, so she had like a young teen, but she's such a nice, well-behaved young lady. You know what I mean? Such a well-groomed. You can tell her parents put effort into how she comes to school every day. You know what I mean? And that she does, most importantly. Well-groomed, well-behaved, manners, does her work. She ain't rude. I ain't got to check her about what she said. If I was going to have a daughter, it phenomenal young lady. Okay, I'll write any letter of recommendation that she may need. But these 5 or 6 young gentlemen, now I don't know if I want any of them as a son, Father, if you hear me. Okay, all right. If I were to have a son, I wouldn't pick none of these young men. And here's why. These young men, let me tell you something. I'm trying to place it eloquently now, but I'm just have to come out and say it. They need their behinds whooped. And here's why I say that. I had this young man, he does this thing with his face when I tell him to do something. He scrunches it up. Okay. He scrunches face up, eyebrows and nose and mouth, everything get turned upside down when I tell him to do something. And he got a remark. He got a response for me. And I find myself having to tell this young man, when I tell you to do something, that's just what I'm doing. I'm telling you what to do. I'm not asking you. Hello, somebody. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you, if I tell you to move from point A to point B, that's what you do. Now, if I ask you to do it, you still do it, but there's still no room for conversation. I'm giving you information. This is not conversation. Have a seat. Thank you. But sometimes he doesn't seem to get that. So the other day, this was probably just about yesterday, I said, young man, have a seat. Young man, be quiet. Young man, didn't I tell you to have a seat and be quiet? So over the span of 45 minute class, I believe, I'm speaking to him. In 40 minutes, I've had to tell you 3 times to do something. So I then say, young man, go sit outside. Because, you know, I'm a type of educator. Let me tell you this. I'm not going to threaten you with no write up. No, because I'm going to just write you up. I'm not going to threaten you with the principal, because once I threaten you with the principal, or with the dean in my case, once I threaten you and say that the dean is coming down here, then you don't have, you showing me that you don't have any respect for me. So no. Go outside, sit down, take a chair and your work, because I'm tired of talking to you and I'm trying to mitigate, okay, lessen any damage you may do to yourself today, okay, and your classwork or the lack thereof that you're not doing, okay. So I say, go outside. So I put him on ice outside. A couple minutes go by. Probably about the last 10 minutes of class, I go out there and I say, well, what do you think you're doing out here? Face still scrunched up. Oh, yada da 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 da. And no, it wasn't me. And yada da da da. And I said, okay. And I'm on my second year. So I'm always around young people. I got younger brothers. I'm always around young people. So I don't like to beat around the bush with young folk. I just don't. I said, I'm gonna tell you why y'all here, because you won't get it. You miss context. You're misreading the context. So I said, young man, you out here because I've had to tell you 3 times to do something. Oh, no, Mr. Bum, you didn't have to tell me 3. You only have to tell me 2. Oh, God. I said, is that any constellation? I've spoken to you 2, but I know after the 1st time you heard me and you understood. So the 2nd time, you disrespected me. Oh, yeah. He said, no, I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. No, and I always stop them right there. You know what I mean? I always stop them right there. I stop educators, my fellow educators, I stop them right there. Because let me tell you something. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to disrespect you. I respect you. I didn't mean to disrespect you. That you're too late for that. You're sorry. But you already did it. The second time that I had to speak to you, we crossed the threshold of disrespect because you heard me and you understood, but you didn't respond to what I said. So you're disrespectful and you disrespected me. And I don't put up a hissy fit about it when I stop him right there and say you're disrespectful. I say you're disrespectful, and I deal with them accordingly. You disrespected me, so now we got to have a different plan of action. He, you know, the young man goes on. Oh well. I didn't mean to disrespect you. I didn't mean to. Da, 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 da. I said stop right there. Anyway, let me go into that. And then I said, you know what? Come back in the classroom because it's time for you to go. Let's pack up. He comes in. You know, as a young man, they start to get a little buffed up. And let me tell you, I'm 5'5". I'm probably about 130, 129 soaking wet. I can't get no church in here. I'm 5'5". This young man, he's a little bit taller than me. Okay. And I mean, I don't care about none of that. I don't care about no height. So, yeah, he getting buffed up. And yeah, Miss Bowen, flaring up his nose and breathing hard. I'm like, hold on, hold it. I said, hold it down, young man. Control your passions now. Good. I said, you hold it now before you get swole. You better back off me before you get swole now. Listen, I said, hold on, control your passions, young man, because. I understand you're angry. And here's a teachable moment that I give to him and I give to all my students, but especially my students of color, I said to him, I said, control your passion. I said, I can tell you're very passionate about this. I can tell that you feel very strongly about this, but let me forewarn you, young man, that if you do not control your passions will control you. If you do not control your emotions will control you. And you will look up months from now, years from now, you will be in a place that you do not recognize. And guess what will be the vehicle by way in which you've arrived to destruction? It will be your emotion. So I said, control your emotions, young man, control them. I said, I know you feel strongly about this. I said, you can feel how you want to feel. I said, but I made up my mind about the matter. And it's over. Do you understand? And then we moved on. You as an educator, everything is a teachable moment. Every single thing is a teachable moment. Every single thing is a teachable moment. Not just the material that you teach, but everything. You can turn everything into a teachable moment. And I took that one. And so, then there was this other guy. He's tall. He's very tall. Now, the guy I was just talking about, he's probably about 5'7". And, you know, this other guy, he's about 5'8", 5'9", close to 6 foot. And I asked him to do something while I was talking to another student. And he said, oh, but, yeah, I wasn't done asking you my question. Hold on. Wait a minute now. I had to tell him now. Hold on now. I said, you missed context, too. I said, do you know how to read? He said, yeah, I know how to read, Mr. Bowman. Yeah. I said, you sure? I said, what does context mean? What does when you're reading a story, what does context help you do? What is context? He goes on to explain. I said, okay. So you understand context. You understand context gives you the meaning behind the story, the deeper revelation, if you will, of what is being said with these words. He said, yeah. I said, okay. I said, well, what is the context of our relationship? He said, well, I'm a student. You teach me. And I said, I'm your what, teacher? I said, okay, let's go deeper. Let's go deeper, son, because we're almost there. Let's go deeper. I said, well, what is the context when I tell you to be quiet? What's the context there? That I should be quiet? I said, okay. He started to go on because he started to understand where I was going. I said, hold on. We're done. I said, now that I know that you can read, number one, and that you understand context, and that you understand I'm your teacher, and that you're the student, and that whatever I tell you to do or whatever I ask you to do, that's what you need to do without any response. Then we can just move accordingly now. Then whatever disciplinary action that you find yourself in is because a lack of respect that you have for me, right? Yeah, you know, because you... You know, you may be listening saying, oh, you being too harsh. But no, it's disrespect when you get on a job, especially as an African-American male. You get a job and like the first young man, you acting all big and you huffing and puffing and they gonna kick you out. You get so mad. you do a little bit too much. They gonna call the cops. And the other young man, you had a job and your employer, your boss, your higher up ask you to do something and you got a response and you got a fight back to say, huh? Come on. It's disrespect. And I try to teach that. Now you might not like it. Okay. But the proof is in the data. Okay. I got data to back this up that it works anyway. But yeah, I mean, that's how I do right now. I'm on year two. You know, I might change. That's how I do. But yeah, it's some kids make dumb decisions. Really, really. And grading late work is my least favorite thing. Now, I do take late work. My school has a policy that we take 10 points off of every day. Every day that an assignment is late, you know, and after a while, there are no points for you. After a while, there are no points for you to even have. So. But I hate grade late work. I had a student today email me after he saw that I put in a zero for his grade today. Grades are due today because the new market period starts on Monday. After he sees that I put that zero in, he was like, oh, what's a zero for? What did I do? What didn't I do? I said, well, this zero is from this assignment that was due February 28th. Emailed me about 40 minutes later. Oh, I forgot to press submit. I'm sorry. Huh? Wait a minute. Hold the phone. It is March the 17th, y'all. This young man said he forgot to press the submit button on February the 28th. I said, young man, even if I wanted to give you any points, there's nothing that I can do for you. There's nothing that I can do for you. I can't give you anything for that. I can't give you anything because you didn't even turn it in. It's March 17th. I can't give you anything. I hate grading late work. And so many, like, kids have so many excuses. When I was in school, when I was in middle school, yeah, I probably did have late work. When I was in college, you know, don't ask me, because depending on the class, it was real late. And thank God for my educators then. But I graded, y'all, I graded. But what am I supposed to do February 28th? You forgot to submit it? That's an excuse. Excuses are Tuesday incompetent. Okay. If you know, you know. I mean, I don't really know, but. Okay. Anyway, but yeah, y'all know that poem. You know, excuses are Tuesday comedy. Okay. Hey, amen. Let's move on. But yeah, and then I teach kids that do not look like me. I teach kids that do not look like me. A lot of my kids do not look like me. And it's hard. It is hard. And because there are conversations and principles and a certain level of understanding that me, that I and the African-American students that I teach have with one another, male and female, that we have. Not even about disrespect, but it's just there's a level of understanding that we have, right? And with the students that I teach that do not look like me, I sometimes have a harder time reaching a mutual level of understanding. You know what I mean? Because I'm only the second black male teacher in the school. Yeah. The other educator, other teacher, he's a little bit older, and he teaches another class. I think not a major class. I'm thinking about college, guys. I'm thinking about getting my master's, so I'm talking about majors. But he teaches one of those courses, not like an elective course, like a gym, blah blah blah. He teaches one of those courses. I just can't remember right now. But I'm younger. But yeah, we're only two black, and then there are like a handful of other black faculty and staff that work there. But it's just sometimes so hard to reach a level of understanding, not about respect, because one thing about me, and you can argue with your mama about her potato salad on this one, but I wouldn't dare tolerate disrespect from these kids. I'm just being straight up from nobody, even at the school that I was at last semester. I switched schools in the middle of the year. And those kids looked like me. I wasn't taking nothing from them. You see what I'm saying? No, Cletus. No. So it ain't even about respect, because it ain't about that. Because you're going to respect me either way. Now, you might not like me, but you're going to respect me. Okay? And that's a teachable moment as well. I have to tell some of my kids, yo, you don't have to like me, but when you come in here, you're going to respect me. Straight up, because this is my house. Room 211 is my crib. And you ain't going to come in my house, my crib, disrespect me. You heard me? Straight up, dog. But for real. But it's more or less about, you know, right or wrong. And like, right, like, I don't know. It's just such a thoughtfully so. It's such a gap between our cultures, and we have such cultural differences, but they are getting better. I'll be honest. They are getting better. It's gotten a lot better. The more that I kind of try to build those one-on-one relationships with the students, the more of those gaps, those cultural differences, you know, they're there, but we move past them. You know, I thought when I first started teaching these at this school that I wouldn't be able to connect with them, and I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't know how to reach them, and I wouldn't know how to talk to them. And it's just like your coworkers, you know what I mean? Granted, these are my students, they're not my coworkers, but you are going to work with people that don't look like you, don't come from where you come from, have different backgrounds, ethnicities, so on and so forth. And it's like you still manage to work with them and move on, and you come to work and you may laugh, you may have a work relationship, you know what I mean? And it's getting better. And one thing that I understand more than I've ever understood it, this just adds the icing on the cake. When I went to my HBCU, when I graduated from Livingstone College in Salisbury, North Carolina in May of 2020, and when I enrolled in August or September of 2016, I knew that black excellence was the mecca of the experience we call life. I'll say it again. Black excellence is the mecca, the pinnacle of life in every expression. When you get to music, the black excellence in music and hip hop and rap culture, pinnacle of hip hop and rap is black people. Hip hop, R&B, soul, pinnacle, black excellence, fashion, black excellence. Did y'all see the thing that Ralph Lauren Polo was doing with the Morehouse and Spelman line? The pinnacle of fashion, black excellence. That's just an example. Streetwear is becoming a thing. Kim Kardashian and her sisters, the pinnacle of the is black excellence in every facet, in everywhere, black excellence. Anywhere you see it, black excellence. And so I got to the school, and I icing on the cake. Like I said, these kids love them some rap music. It's white kid. love them some rap music, and I can't blame them. Love them some. Yo, and these kids live in suburbia. These kids' parents, doctors, lawyers, government officials, are in the military, own several businesses in the city, in the state, own CEO of a major company. Never have been in the ghetto. Never. And you know, it's just a reality. Not lying. Never been in the ghetto. But they love this one guy I teach. And I love him. This dude's funny. One guy I teach, he's like, hey, Miss Bowman, can you play Gunna Pushin' P? I looked at the one black girl that I teach, because she was in that class. I looked at her and said, and we just give each other a look. And I'm like, yeah, I can play it. And they start bopping. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, okay, we can. Here's a way we can connect. You know what I mean? Here's a way that we can build upon our relationship. You're like, can you play Gunna Pushin' P? And our relationship is built upon our mutual love for music, especially like hip hop and rap, like Gunna and, you know, oh, this dude, he loves King Von. Want to play Love Sosa in school, want me to play it. I had to tell him like every day, like, yo, I can't play that. You know that. He from like, oh, yada, yada, yada. O-Block. Huh? Yo, like, yeah. So again, black excellence is the pinnacle of every experience, whether you're music, fashion, whatever facet. Black excellence is the pinnacle of that experience. And I stand on what I said. I am willing to die on this hill. Amen. But yeah. So it's so. And I was talking to a brother of mine. It's so interesting to see. It's so interesting to see that, because some of these kids have like never been in the ghetto, never lived a life or been around people that have lived a life that some of these rappers talk about. But that's the thing. They love it anyway. They cannot connect with the music at all. You have no idea what he's talking about. You've never been outside of North Carolina if it wasn't on a trip with your family at a resort or come on. You know what I'm saying? But they love this music. They connect with it. Immediately they connect with it. And I was telling a brother of mine again, it was like so amazing to see that black people really are the leading force. Like, they love us. They love us. And that brings me into my next point. Like, I don't care about being the cool teacher. It's overrated. My first year, I tried it when I was in Virginia. Those kids walked all over me. Partially because we were online, like, until March. From August to March. September to March. We were virtual, so I had no reason to put my foot down. I barely had to say anything because they're at home. But from March to June, end of May, those kids were, walking over me. So I said when I started this year, when I was at my other school, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going for it. And I shouldn't have been going for it then when I was in Virginia, but it was too late. Like it was too late. Truly, like it was too late. Now they wasn't like being too wild, but I would have to like yell and for them to do something. And I really don't, I'm really not that guy. You know what I mean? I'm not finna yell. I'm not going to yell. First of all, my voice is my instrument. My voice is my instrument. And, whew, okay. And we're going to add another list to this, to our church rules. We're going to pray, we're going to preach, we're going to praise, and we're going to prophesy. And I'm about to prophesy right now, church, that this gift, this instrument that I have, it's going to make me some money. Okay? It's going to make me some money. Okay? Even more, I'm going to be on, and it's not about fame or fortune, but I'm going to be on the stage with this voice, making God famous, not me for making God famous. Amen? But yeah, I'm not going to yell. No. No, I'm gonna say it one time. I'm gonna say it one time, and that's it. That's how I am now. I'm gonna say it one time, and if I have to say it a second time, it's up. It's up. Like, we're done. We're not talking for the rest of the day, straight up, because now you disrespect me. being a cool teacher is overrated. I used to think that I had to be the cool teacher. That's another thing I was thinking, like, when I first started. I got to be a cool teacher. I'm young. I don't want to be rude. I want them to always like me. But when you're cool and they will like you. You know what I mean? When you're cool, it exudes out of you. You got swag, it exudes out of you. When you are relatable, when you're down to earth, it pours out of you. It oozes out of you. No matter how much you have to, like, chastise and get on the kids. Maybe chastise is the wrong word. But no matter how much you have to discipline the kids, you know? So I had a lot of kids, especially last semester at the school I was at, that did not like me at first, because, like I am now at the school, I wasn't going for it. And those kids looked like me. But they ended up loving me. Ended up loving me, and I was surprised that it did, because I was real Joe Clarkish. You smoke crack, don't you? Will Johnson got people thinking that folk are in classes doing what he do. And I got to tell y'all, sometimes I have to fight from saying a cuss word when I'm talking to my kids, because sometimes they have me messed up. And sometimes when I'm checking my kids, it just almost slips out. And I thanks be to God who calls us to triumph and gives us the victory. I've never cussed a kid out, but it'd be right there. But I thank God I haven't had to. I thank God. Being a cool teacher is overrated. Just be yourself. Be yourself. I learned to reprimand my class. No, because you, hello? But anyway, yeah, that's the day of my life, y'all. I hope y'all enjoyed the episode. Listen. Y'all be safe. Be safe. Love on your people. Life too short, man. Love on your people. Do what you love so that you can love what you do and you can get paid doing what you love. I love what I do. Okay. I love what I do. And, you know, whatever, how long I'm doing it. But, you know, be safe. Stay prayed up. Stay prayed up, y'all. And I love y'all. Y'all be safe. All right, one.